a game, not a game, not a game. We talking about practice.
He's on fire. It's impossible.
Posey will defend. Oh! LeBron James with no regard for human life.
It is Thursday, December 11th, 2014. This is the Razzball Basketball Podcast. You are Slim. I am JB Gilpin, and we are excited to have you. We've got a big show today. How was your Wednesday evening, Slim?
I didn't go to jail.
Oh, that's good.
He was all nice. Yeah.
The Razzball Basketball Podcast. Ugh, I can't even talk. The Razzball Basketball Mascot calmed down a little bit after yesterday.
I wouldn't say calm. That's not the right word. Once he got to meet the people, he was much better.
That's good, because he's usually hanging out with you most of the time during the pod. That's the first time I think I've ever heard him bark. We talk off air a lot.
Yeah, no, that's his sleep time. He's usually passed out.
Well, awesome that he had an appearance yesterday. He's the official Razzball Basketball Mascot. Why do I can't say mascot. I keep wanting to say podcast and mascot at the same time. It's awful. What's your dog's name again?
Brownie.
Brownie, the Razzball Basketball Mascot. There we go. I had to say it right in order one time to at least feel smart. Today we've got a really big show. We want to welcome the Fantasy Sports Network listeners. Thanks for checking us out. We're going to recap Wednesday's games. Special guest today, Steve Alexander, the senior NBA editor at RotoWorld, is going to join us. He is our Yahoo Friends and Family League matchup this week. Talk a little fantasy and RotoWorld with him. Then we're going to preview the two Thursday night games, very light slate tonight, and then look at a tiny bit of Friday with a couple of DraftKings ideas. I actually won last Friday in the $2 contest. I doubled up to $4. Yeah.
Oh, I tripled. I went 626.
Oh, you're so much better than me.
I hit on Covington. That's all.
Yeah, that was a good one. I actually saved up and went with a LeBron, and LeBron put up 60+. So I had a pretty good week as well. And then as we always do on Thursday podcast, we wrap up with going to the movies. So that will be our show today. Speaking of Friday, we're going to have the debut of someone else, Jody Meeks, back for the Pistons. And I don't know if you saw the quote. It was more or less from Stan Van Gundy. We're going to throw him out there. We have no idea what's going to happen.
Yeah, the question is, who's he going to bench for him?
Singler, let's hope.
Yeah, I'm not dropping KCP yet, but yeah, it's worrisome.
Yeah, and Meeks has to come off the bench for a while. I mean, he had a severe back issue.
I would assume so. We'll see.
You know what happens.
The Pistons we're talking about.
You know what happens when you assume you make an ass out of you and how bad the Pistons are. So to the Heat.
Dirk Meeks isn't going to make it on my team, even if he does come for 30 minutes.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of things saying like he's pickable, upable, if that's a phrase, in fantasy leagues. But I don't know. I'm not touching him yet. I need to see it first.
Yep, he's Thragnoff.
For sure. So to your Heat, and just when we started buying in on Josh McRoberts, gimpy knee. Couldn't end up playing. You worried at all about McRoberts?
Yeah. I didn't know this was coming. He played like almost 33 minutes last time out.
Yeah. And
I didn't see it coming.
I didn't either. And I don't know. So, I mean, obviously I am not a professional athlete. I can put that on my bumper sticker. But I have a toe fusion. And it jacked up my knee at one point. So, you know, those toe issues can lead to other things. I mean, I don't know exactly what his toe surgery was or whatever, but it can definitely lead to other things. I'm a little worried, too. I think if you picked him up, you might miss a couple more games. He might have kind of an injury-plagued season because he came in hurt with the toe.
Yeah, and they got blown out by Denver. I'm not too surprised there. I mean, they need him on the court. I mean, if he can if he can just be out there, I think they're going to play him.
Yeah, so, I agree. It's just, I don't know how often he'll be able to be out there.
They started Justin Hamilton. Sean Williams had some pretty empty 24 minutes. It's his job. Everybody else is not very good.
And I agree with you there. Speaking of not very good, another dud from Mario Chalmers. I mean, he scores 11 points, but, no assists to two turnovers, hits a three. I don't know. I'm feeling like you can move on.
Yeah, probably. But, whoever has him when Wade goes down again is going to have a nice little player.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know. It's hard to.
That's a win, not an if. I mean,
it is a win. I do agree with you there. It's just, is holding him worth that win?
Yeah, that's league settings dependent.
Yeah.
In an RCL 12er, now you can move on.
Yeah, I'm thinking you can too. You can stream someone for that, and who knows? Maybe you hit on a streamer like CJ Miles. Why didn't either of us pick him for 30 points yesterday?
I don't think I would have picked him for 30 minutes, let alone 30 points.
Yeah, so he puts up 30 points in 7 threes. Do you care at all?
I guess this hurts Solomon Hill. Hopefully it really hurts Chris Copeland.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's not good. Murky's the waters. That's always bad for us.
Hill gets 17 minutes, Copeland only 18, and Vogel runs the Pacers' second unit. 3 days this week we've seen bad teams run their second unit down the stretch. 3 days in a row. So if you're an owner of one of these starters on a bad team, it's definitely something to be concerned about. So one guy that we both really liked in the preseason that's starting to really pick it up is Elfrid Payton. But at the same time, while he's finally getting minutes and he's scoring points, he's like putting stats in, just the assists aren't there. And his percentages are just awful. Looking at his last 10, he hasn't topped 6 assists. 6 assists is fine. It's good and all. He's only had double-digit scoring twice. Gets a steal or two every game. But when you're shooting for the season 38% and shooting under 50% from the free throw line, I just think his assist volume isn't enough to be ownable with those bad percentages.
No, it's not. But I think we've seen the very bottom. I think from here on out, it should only get better. Yeah. Especially in the way of turnovers. I think field goal percent, too. I mean, Vucevic not being out there is killing them. They have no rhythm at all.
Yeah. And, I mean, Elfrid's off a good game against the Wizards last night, where the Magic almost beat the Wizards. Elfrid for 12, 6, and 4. Got a steal, only the one turnover. Avoided the free throw line, which is good. Yeah, he had 2 for 9 free throw a couple games ago. Ugh.
Yeah, but if he's taking 15 shots and not taking free throws, I'm guessing that means not a whole lot of those were at the rim.
Yeah.
That field goal percent isn't going to be pretty if he's taking jumpers. I don't want him taking jumpers.
Yeah, I don't either. I don't know, I think in 12ers, it kind of looks sexy because, he gets a couple boards, he gets assists, and he'll get steals. But it's just capped at a volume because he's coming off the bench. I mean, I just don't think he has any upside for a big game, and then the percents kill you.
But you probably won't find a better late-week streamer for assists.
That's true. I mean, if your percents are fine, then yeah, he fits your team good. Like, would you rather, right now, Elfrid Payton or Mario Chalmers?
Yeah, I would go with Payton.
Really? See,
The assists. Chalmers is a 2. As a shooting guard, just doesn't give you assists.
Yeah, I think I'd rather Chalmers just because I think while you wait for that win, like we talked about, I don't think it's worth the bad percents of Payton. But at the same time, if I'm at the end of my week and I only need a couple more assists and old Chalmers gives steals too.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Chalmers hits threes and Payton doesn't hit threes. They're certainly different players. It's probably more need based than actual player based.
Yeah,
but I do like the way it's especially the minutes. I like the way the minutes are going for Elfrid.
That's
and
true.
The way Fournier's playing. He has no lock on that job.
Yeah, Fournier's been really falling apart. Are we starting him next week in Friends and Family?
That's not the question. The question is, are we dropping him?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I think if we don't play him, we drop him. Yeah, he was brutal. Only 7 points. I don't know what the Magic schedule is next week, but I think he might be a drop.
Yep, I probably.
Yeah.
I mean, hopefully Isaiah Thomas gets back and we can plug him in, but
yeah, he should be back this weekend. There's been optimism that he'll be back by Friday, I think, by tomorrow.
He missed a lot longer than I thought he would.
Yeah, that's for sure. All right, so to the Hornets beating the Celtics, quick tangent. Yahoo really needs to fix their box score. Charlotte still shows up in Bobcats colors. I almost said Bobcats. So I want to talk about my boyfriend, Michael Kidd-Gilchrist, because even though he only had, you know, he had 9 points and 6 boards and no other stats, but man, he just ignited. He just was such a spark. And I mean, Gerald Henderson just sits out there and does nothing and takes jumpers. I mean, he's so annoying. But Kidd-Gilchrist, I mean, he's floating around everywhere. He's getting rebounds. I think within a couple games, he's going to be back up to 30 minutes. And I think he deserves some consideration in 12ers already.
Possibly. I don't think it goes back to 30 minutes, though. I think they won. I don't know. They can't win a game. Did they win last night?
They did. And that's what I'm saying. Michael Kidd-Gilchrist giving them a spark.
Yeah, I mean, the two offensive rebounds are huge. You love seeing that. I'm sure the coach is thrilled.
And, you know, I watched a good part of this game. He had another layup barely rim out in transition that looked really good. And then he had another and one where the ref right next to it calls and one. And then this moron at half court says charge. And then they call disputing calls jump ball. You know, it was the weirdest thing ever. But, you know, Kidd-Gilchrist, in the 7 games he's played, the Hornets are 3-4. You know, as a team, they are 6-15. So, I don't know.
Yeah.
A little bit better with him in there.
He doesn't do a whole lot. He's, you know, no threes. Probably is going to hurt your free throw percent. This is all assuming that his field goal percent maintains a decent number.
Yeah, which I think it will because he's driving.
It's possible.
Because he's driving.
Worked hard on it.
Yeah, he's driving a lot more than I've ever seen. You know, I didn't watch a ton of Bobcats games before the Hornets, but it seemed like he had to settle for jumpers and didn't do too much else. Now he's driving. I think that leads to, you know, an extra assist in here. We know he's going to get steals and blocks because he's a good defensive player.
Yeah, I think it's low volume steals and blocks, though. It's not like two steals and a. He could get up to a block, but I think that would be with 30 plus minutes.
Yeah, I think he's going to hit all the categories except for threes and not have turnovers. I mean, in lowish volume ways, but I think that's going to add up to someone that's going to be a surprise this year.
Okay. Over under 12 points a game.
We'll
assume 30 minutes.
I'd take right at that. I'll say barely under.
That's the whole point of an over-under.
You should be a Vegas odd maker.
You go to Vegas and say, I'd like to bet the push.
I'll bet exactly the push. Watch him get exactly 12.0 points a game.
That'd be pretty good. Might have to check the extra decimal places, but that would be pretty good.
So shocker in the fantasy basketball community. This just sent ripples down all of the pickups in all leagues. Kevin Garnett is hurt. Yeah, he had to get an x-ray on his foot. Teletovich is hurt. Brolo's hurt with the back. I mean, they're going to have to keep playing Mason Plumlee, even though he was kind of awful yesterday. 8 points, 8 rebounds, and 3 blocks, but had 3 turnovers, 2 for 5 free throw, 3 for 11 from the field. How are you 3 for 11 from the field?
6 blocked attempts. That's how.
Oh, yeah, that will happen. Gibson and Pau Gasol combining for 10 blocks.
I think a lot of this is the product of playing against the Bulls. That's never easy.
Yeah. Are you holding Plumlee if you picked him up just for another couple games?
I didn't because I'm not punting free throw percent anywhere, and I'm worried about that with too many minutes.
Yeah,
but yeah, if I wasn't worried about that, then yeah, I'm definitely holding on. I mean, the 8 boards and 3 blocks, that's a good sign.
And guess who Plumlee gets tomorrow?
I'm hoping the Sixers. I'm usually hoping that.
It is the Sixers. So that could be a monster game there. I mean, that's the best shot he's going to have for a good game all year. Unless Teletovic is hurt for another week, which he might, because with the hit pointer.
Arisev, we buying anything into Sergei?
Yeah, and like I was on the fence about I don't even think I mentioned him in the article because I mean Bohan Bogdanovic seems to be out of the rotation. He has a terrible game. Karasev didn't really do much.
Yeah, but yeah. I think those threes will fall eventually.
Maybe. I don't know what this team's doing. The Nets are just trying to blow it up.
I mean, Alan Anderson got the start, too.
Yeah, and I don't know. I think so there actually was a trade in the world of basketball already that, not to be lost with all the trades in baseball going on right now. I would
say money exchanged hands.
Yeah, I know, exactly. So, yeah, the Sixers get Kirilenko's contract. And the Nets get Brandon Davies. And they said they're going to try Davies out a little bit. And with everyone hurt.
Someone got a second round pick, too.
Yeah. But, I mean, Davies, for now, Davies might actually get a look. There's so many injuries on the Nets anyway.
Yeah, but we saw what he did in the absolute best of circumstances in Philly. So.
Oh, yeah. He's not that good.
I'm not too excited about it.
Yeah. So I had the unfortunate pleasure of watching all of your Timberwolves players go absolutely nuts against the Trailblazers while my Blazer did terrible. I'm talking about our REL matchup. Shocking win there for the Wolves. They played with a lot of confidence. The Blazers had no offensive flow. Wiggins, big game, 23-10-4 with two steals.
44 minutes.
Yeah, Brewer has a great game. 19 points, 8 rebounds, 5 assists, 5 steals. Hits all 10 of his free throws, even though he was a sub-70% free throw shooter before last night. And then
even dropping a 3, which he hasn't been doing too much of.
The 3 he hit was... I remember seeing it. I think it was like on a kind of a broken possession, and he had to hit it right before the shot clock, so... and then Jeff Adrian comes off the bench and plays like the Jeff Adrian we knew he could be. 8 points, 11 rebounds, 2 assists, and 2 blocks in 26 minutes. I mean, there's just no frontline depth and plays 26 minutes to Anthony Bennett's 10. I don't know. Adrian's still on the short 10-day contracts. You picking him up?
Oh, no, probably not. Gorgui was probably in foul trouble. He only got 22 minutes. And I think that's where they're playing Adrian more, is at center. Yeah,
they are. Which
is scary. He is vastly undersized.
Yeah, but held up in this game because, you know, Robin Lopez was still terrible. Robin Lopez couldn't even get a block because he's terrible.
Yeah. Well, then there's Chris Kamen with his 5 turnovers. But
yeah, well, at least he had 4 blocks. So.
Yeah, I know, but... I don't know if those 5 turnovers helped them win the game, though.
Yeah, it was weird, because Kamen had 5 turnovers, and Aldridge had 5 turnovers. Your two big men getting... I mean, they had so many turnovers. 20 turnovers to 20 team assists. It was kind of a brutal game, if you're a Blazers fan.
Are you believing Lillard in these steals?
1.5?
1.6 now?
Yeah, I mean, a big step up last year... From his rookie year, was they were saying his defensive presence was much better. It didn't really translate too much to the stat sheet, but it's improving again this year. Yeah, totally buy it. I mean, he's a really good player, and he's a fast point guard. He's going to get steals. He's a smart player.
Yeah, I remember last year, everyone would say, you know, oh, they're going against Lillard. That's a big game for their point guard.
Not anymore.
Yeah, I don't think so anymore. He might be a first-round pick next year. In fantasy.
It's possible, especially with a lot of these former first-round power forwards getting hurt and being terrible. I'm thinking of Melo and Love. So I watched Zach LaVine had a couple drop. I mean, dude is fast. 10 points, 4 rebounds, 5 assists. You know, he's still raw, had 5 turnovers and no steals and blocks. You know, nothing too huge on the stat sheet, but... Man, he's going to be good if he can take that next step forward and kind of rein it in and get that speed translated to efficiency.
Yeah, he needs to slow down. Yeah, he doesn't really. He doesn't have a whole lot of help. I mean, Thaddeus and Brewer are kind of the only stabilizing veterans, and I don't know if either one of them are really an outspoken veteran. Both of them strike me as followers, not leaders.
Yeah, I agree with that. I'm just, you know, in a dynasty league, I'm really excited if I got Levine. I was kind of on the fence heading into the year because I thought he was way too raw and wouldn't be ready for a while. He looked a lot better than I ever would have expected in the NBA since the NBA draft.
Yeah, but can he play with Rubio? We haven't seen that yet.
That's a good point. I mean, maybe they'll hopefully play him at the 2 one day with Rubio.
I think that was the plan all along.
Yeah.
I think right now, or at least even probably next year, the plan would probably still be for him to come off the bench as a, you know, both 1 and 2 with 20-something minutes, low 20s minutes.
Yeah, play
kind he's of... He's 19, 20, still yeah. just a kid.
What was it? I think he was born in 95. I think I pulled that up earlier in the week and was like, how old are we? I don't know. I just, one of those things you see at the eye level and you're like, wow, this guy could be really good if he gets it all together. All right, so let's play America's favorite game. All right, I have a new game for this game. It's Can Slim Not Look Stupid? That's what I'm calling the game. Do you like that name?
It's probably more difficult than it sounds, but okay.
All right. So in today's edition of Can Slim Not Look Stupid, all right, I've got two players here. They're both centers. All right.
At least eligible. Okay.
Yes. All right. So player A, 13 points. Player B, 13.3 points.
Even not much there. Difference there.
Player.
This is for the season, right?
This is for the season. Yeah, this isn't for a stretch of games. Player A, 9 rebounds a game. Solid. Player B, 6.3 rebounds.
Okay, I already have an idea.
Player A, 1.6 assists. Player B, 2.5 assists.
That's not bad.
A little bit for B. And player A, 1 block a game. Player B, 1.4 blocks a game.
I know who the first thing that thought came to my head immediately was the first one being Valanciunas.
All right. Wrong. But good guess. Let me tell you the percents, too, just to round out the picture. Player A, right at 50% field goal. Player B, 53.6% from the field. And player A, 80% free throw shooting. Player B, right at 80% free throw shooting as well.
So
pretty unanimous that player A is better. He lost a couple, you know, down about an assist a game and half a block, but much better rebounding. Well, maybe that's not better. Like,
but it's not quite what Maurice Spates is doing, but it's close.
No, he's not doing that good. It's not Maurice Spates.
Okay. Is the second one Taj Gibson?
Nope.
That's tough.
Although, remember that you guessed Taj Gibson.
Okay. I hope he's got more than a block a game.
All right,
yeah, that's pretty tough.
All right, you want me to talk?
They both start?
They do both start.
Okay. And they're both healthy, right?
They are both healthy.
Man.
Do you need a hint?
What about Gortat?
Nope, it's not Gortat.
He's having a better season than that. I think he's up to about 15 a game, isn't he?
I think so. I'll give you a hint. One player is on a really bad team, and the other player is on a really good team. Player A is on a bad team. Player B is on a good team.
Yeah, player A is the one with less blocks than player B.
Yes.
But somehow they both shoot a good percent.
Mm-hmm. And player A is the one with a ton more boards.
That's pretty tough. Yeah, it's. I'm pretty surprised that's not Valanciunas. Okay. No, I don't think I can get it.
All right. Well, waving the white flag. So player A is Jordan Hill.
Okay. Yeah, I was. Okay. Yeah, the blocks aren't where I would have hoped them to be.
Mm-hmm. but still 13-9 and good percents. I mean, I think the big step forward for him is shooting 80% free throws in by far his highest volume.
I wouldn't have guessed that.
I know. Well, it's 79.7. I rounded up. But I should be like, yeah, it's actually 65%. I rounded up. No, you know, and making 2.5 for 3.1 a game. I think that's been a real underrated impact of Jordan Hill's game. So, I mean, you know, compared to player B, he loses 0.9 assists and loses 0.4 blocks, but gains almost 3 rebounds a game.
Yeah, I have a feeling that's going to be more about minutes.
I already said who it was. Jordan Hill's at 30 minutes a game. The other starting center's at 29 minutes a game. So he's only losing 1 minute.
Mm. Well, if it's my guess of Taj before.
It's not Taj. It is Al Horford.
Yikes.
What does that say about Al Horford? Wow. So.
The rebounds. I mean, I wouldn't expect him. I mean, I wouldn't expect. Yeah, the assist should have given it away.
Well, I mean, he's only at 2.5. I mean, you look at.
How many centers are over 2 assists?
That's true, but he's been over 3 before.
Oh, you want to know what Taj's are?
Yeah, sure.
12, 6, and 1.4 blocks.
Wow, so Taj is pretty close to Horford, too.
Yeah. 1.6 assists.
Wow, that's really close to Horford.
But he doesn't have the free throw percent.
Yeah, that's true. And I mean, Horford.
Tunis, I was comparing to the guy with 9 boards.
Mm-hmm.
He's at 12, 8.6, and 1.3 blocks.
Yeah, but he does nothing in assists, right? He's like under 1.
No, yeah, it's 0.5.
Yeah, he's under 1. And I mean, a big thing with Hill, too, is, like I said, 2.5 for 3.1 free throws. Yeah. Al Horford's down to 1 for 1.2. I mean, he's just not taking free throws ever.
No, it's worrisome. I mean, you should have sold him.
Yep.
Talked about that today, I think.
Yeah, I put that in today's article. I said, you know, on Monday he went 25, 8, 3, 1, and 3. Had a really big game. I said, this is a good spike to sell. You got a limited window. That might be one of our worst calls this year, if not the worst, since we had him in the second round.
Well, fortunately, our calls are for a season-long basis, so we shall see.
That is true. And joining us on the Razzball Basketball Podcast is Steve Alexander. He is the senior NBA editor at RotoWorld. How are you doing today, Steve?
I'm doing good. How are you guys doing?
Doing awesome, man. We're looking forward to our matchup this week. You're currently beating us 5-4, but we're hoping to turn it around. We've had a little bit of a slow start in the Yahoo Friends and Family League, but I think we're still pretty optimistic about our team, aren't we, Slim?
Yeah, we got injuries are killers in these weekly leagues.
Yeah, we've had a lot of early week injuries. So Steve, how long have you been writing for fantasy basketball, and what got you into fantasy? And tell us a little bit about your history.
Well, about 13 years ago, I started emailing with Matthew Pouliot, who was sort of the king of Roto World back when it first started. Now he's the baseball guy. And I started bugging him and asking him if I could write some NBA news. And he let me start giving it a shot on Tuesday nights. And I ended up doing Tuesday nights for a year. And then they let me have a column around the time Matthew Berry left. So I sort of filled the Matthew Berry hole when he left Roto World a long time ago. And just stuck with it, worked for free for a lot of years, and eventually quit my job and started working a lot of hours at Roto World. I was doing some golf blurbs and some arena football league blurbs along with basketball. And then we got bought by NBC, and they were able to pay me, and I got some insurance benefits. And the rest is history. I've kind of been running the basketball show for probably 10 years now.
Wow, so that's an awesome story. You're in on fantasy before I was doing much of fantasy, for sure. what were some of the early NBA blurbs you did? Who were the big names then when you started?
Well, Eddie Curry and Tyson Chandler had just come into the league.
Eddie Curry, awesome.
So, and I was a big Eddie Curry guy, because, man, when he was in high school, he looked like he was going to be a beast. That didn't really work out all that well. No. Yeah. I remember the first shift I ever worked, I posted a Dirk Nowitzki blurb, and it was something like Dirk had 23 points and 8 rebounds, 2 three-pointers and a block, and did what Dirk does or something like that. And Pouliot sent me an email. He said, "Why did you blurb Dirk Nowitzki?" I said, "Well, I don't know. I thought that's what we do." And he goes, "There's no news in that blurb. That's what he does every day." So I think nowadays we do blurb guys, even if they have an average performance, because there's so many injuries and so many rotation changes in the NBA. But back then, the focus was more really only blurbing a guy if he did something really good or really bad.
Yeah, I mean, I've played fantasy for 10 plus years too, and I remember the day where, I've played on Yahoo most of my life, and they've brought in the Roto World, and I remember the day when, the news was you had a news bit on one person, and that was like you had to click it every time. Now you guys are so on top of it that there's always news on every player, almost every night. Do you write the current blurbs right now? Are you part of the mix with Mike Gallagher and the guys that are working NBA right now?
Yeah, I do. I do Wednesday night games, which there's usually 10 to 13 games. I usually do 8, maybe 9 of those games as far as writing up the blurbs. So I still do quite a bit of blurb writing, not as much as I used to. I mean, it used to be more of a one man show where I was writing a lot of blurbs, like daytime and nighttime. But I've got a really good staff that works with me, and I've got more bodies to help cover. So there's a lot more people involved, and that's always challenging, because the idea is to have all the blurbs be transparent, so you can't really tell who's writing what, but mm-hmm. It's harder to do the more people you get involved, but I think we do a pretty good job.
Yeah, I definitely agree there. I use RotoWorld all the time to keep me going with my news and be sure I've got all the injuries covered and all that stuff. You guys do an awesome job. Looking at our friends and family draft, your first four picks were pretty close to their ADPs, but in the fifth round you took Markieff Morris. He was a big sleeper for us as well. What did you like about Markieff Morris heading into the year, and are you happy with your return so far?
As far as being happy with my return, I'm happy with Markieff Morris. I don't know if I'm happy with him as a fifth round pick. I'm not unhappy, I don't think. He's playing better. I'll tell you what, I'd rather have a bunch of Markieff Morrises in the fifth round instead of Carmelo Anthony in the first round, because you guys were kind of talking about your injury problems, but you're preaching to the choir, because I'm a proud, not so proud Carmelo owner, and who knows where that's going to go, man. The Knicks are terrible. His knee's messed up. There's whispers about surgery. So if you guys are interested in obtaining Carmelo Anthony, we could probably work. Have you ever made a trade during your podcast?
we haven't yet. Slim and I have talked to a couple trades with our teams when we're in the same league. I don't know what we could really offer for Carmelo, though.
I'm telling you, the window is open to really get a steal on Melo right now.
We've got this really good, just really high upside center named Larry Sanders.
Hey, man, at this point, I might consider it.
Well, we'll throw you Sanders and someone else if you're interested. So,
all right, we'll talk. But as far as Markieff goes, I just thought he was due to have a breakout year. I like big men who hit threes, and he does that. He's a good scorer. He was kind of primed to take over that power forward role this year, and he's had some good games and some bad games, but overall, I'm pretty pleased with how he's played so far.
So looking at your Twitter here, you can follow Steve at Dr. A. Is that correct?
Yeah, D-O-C-K-T-O-R-A.
All right. And I see your picture here is, I'm guessing, you and Deion Sanders?
Back in the day.
Nice. That's right. So what was that meeting like?
That was pretty cool. He didn't say a whole lot, and he was actually, he had, both of his hands were full of packages, like he'd been shopping a lot. And that's right in the heart of the primetime glory years. And I think he had just got beamed by a pitch the night before that. We were in Cincinnati, and my brother and I somehow got into the hotel where they were staying, and I got that picture taken with Deion, and I got a baseball signed by Maddox, Glavin, and Smoltz, which I thought was pretty cool. I'm a Braves guy.
Awesome. That's pretty cool. Speaking about the Braves and baseball, I know this is a basketball podcast, but did you like the Shelby Miller trade?
No.
Not a fan.
No, my family, my kids, my wife, everybody in my house is pretty much a Hayward guy. Yeah. I've got a jersey signed by him. I've got a batting practice home run ball I caught off Hayward's bat. And we were Hayward people, and I'm not convinced he was ever going to leave. And that's sort of what the Braves were saying, is he wasn't going to re-sign with us anyway, so we had to move him while we could. But you know, he's a hometown guy in Atlanta, and I don't think he was going anywhere as long as they paid him. And I'd rather build against a great defensive player who can hit and run a little bit than just keep the Upton boys around. But you know, it is what it is. If he was going to leave, I'm fine with it. But I don't know that he was going to leave.
Yeah,
we're kind of sad around here about it.
Yeah, understandably so. I'm actually a big Brewers fan. I'm going to be going to Atlanta for the Brewers series. I've been wanting to do it past couple years because I live in North Carolina. But they finally play them a weekend this year. So maybe I should hit you up if you want to go.
Yeah, man, you should. We go to a lot of games. And yeah, that'd be fun. We should do it.
I will do that.
It'd be nice to go to a baseball game with an adult instead of a 7-year-old for a change.
Well, I would go. That I wouldn't be too excited because I get at least 2 cotton candies and go on a major sugar rush every game. So
yeah, but you know what? I don't have to pay for that cotton candy.
That's what you think now, but when I start pulling your sleeve and begging you for it, you're gonna want to pay the money.
I might do it.
Slim, do you have any questions for Steve?
Yeah, well, speaking of like Michael Gallagher, who do you think would win between you and him in a game of 1-on-1? Oh, and by 1-on-1, I mean like beer pong.
Beer pong?
Yeah,
I don't know. Gallagher's a lot younger than I am, and I'm sure he would crush me on the basketball court because I play old man basketball nowadays. As far as beer pong goes, that game really was. We actually used our ping pong table in my fraternity house for ping pong. And, like that's how old I am, and so I'm pretty sure he's got the edge on me in both of those sports.
Yeah, Gallagher definitely sounded like a young, ready to crush the world in beer pong, spry guy when we talked to him a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, he writes so many blurbs and works so many hours at Roto World. He's kind of an animal. I'd be scared to take him on in basketball. I think I'm pretty sure he's pretty good.
Well, at some point, Slim and I are going to we're going to challenge 2 of the Roto World guys in a game on 2-on-2. So I don't know, Slim. I've never asked you. Are you good at basketball in real life?
I mean, I guess I can play it, but you know, I'm 6 foot nothing on a good day. So we'll see.
I'll carry the team. I'm 6'7", so, and I played basketball growing up. So I'll carry the team. I'll be the juggernaut.
Are you really 6'7"?
I am really 6'7". Even though my voice doesn't quite sound like it, I am 6'7". I make no qualms about having a slightly higher male voice. So
my game is sort of like Chris Bosh last year. I just kind of stand out at the 3-point line and throw them up when nobody's guarding me.
My game, I guess I'd have to go with Josh Smith. I try to make some good plays, but I have a ton of turnovers.
And you're really bad at free throws.
Yep, exactly. Nah, I think I could beat Josh Smith in a free throw contest. I really think I could. So
you and Josh are about the same height.
Yeah, that's true, but he's probably got like 50 pounds on me. He's a big boy.
So. And probably 20 inches on the vertical leap, I'm guessing.
and many more millions of dollars with that contract. So that was an awesome interview. Thanks for joining us, Steve. We'll hope to have you on again later this year when we play you again in the Yahoo Friends and Family. Again, that's at Dr. A, DOCKTORA. I'll be sure to tweet you this this podcast, and have yourself a good one, man. We really enjoyed having you.
Yeah, a couple guys on the chat, I told them I was on my way to a podcast, and they're like, what podcast? Roto World needs a podcast. And I told them I'd tweet it out when you sent it over, so I'm looking forward to that.
Awesome, man. We really appreciate that. So, you know, we've had a bunch of you Roto World guys on now since we're playing you so much early in the year in the Friends and Family, so we definitely feel like we could we're Roto World influenced podcast for sure.
Awesome. Well, let me know when it's done. Let me know when you're coming to Atlanta, and let's do this again next time we meet.
I certainly will do. Thanks again, man. Have a good one.
All right, see you guys.
Later.
Thanks again for Steve Alexander hopping on the phone with us and looking ahead to today's huge slate of everyone playing on Thursday. Just kidding, there's two games. So our 30-point challenge is going to be a challenge, I guess, for lack of a better word there. We've got the Cavs at OKC and Houston at Sacramento. I will let you go first because I have not thought about it yet.
Yeah, I mean, the first question we got to ask is KD a possibility?
KD is not 10th. Scoring at 22.0 a game. And I should mention, I'll go ahead and mention now, LeBron James, game time decision.
Okay, so you could get Lover or Irving having a big game.
Yeah, I think that's where I'm going.
All right, well, I'm going to go ahead and go with Rudy Gay, with no Cousins out there.
That's a good one. He's 12th at 21.6. I am going to go with Kyrie Irving then. I think this becomes quite an entertaining point guard battle between those teams.
Yeah, that first game is going to be a good one.
Yeah, and if LeBron's out, I didn't even know LeBron was out, but I needed points in one league, and I mean, there's not really people to pick up. I picked up Dion Waiters in the league. I'm not a big Waiters fan, but especially if LeBron's out, Waiters could give you a 20-plus point game without breaking much of a sweat. So.
Yep, and speaking of fill-ins, Mota Junis, we're getting a bunch of questions about him. He should basically be owned everywhere.
Yeah,
until,
I said that.
At least we hear something about Terrence Jones.
Yeah, I said that in an article today, that there's really no light at the end of the tunnel for Terrence Jones. So Mota Junis needs to be owned. He was owned in less than 30% of Yahoo leagues when I looked at it this morning. So
yep, I got him in one and dropped him in another a while ago, and somebody else grabbed him pretty quickly.
Yeah, and for your Kings, your backup power forwards and centers. Now playing big minutes, Jason Thompson and Reggie Evans. I picked up Evans in a league where I was just down maybe like 6 boards and everything else was looking decent. So if you need,
yeah, they should do great. There's no Dwight Howard still, although we have some good news on him. Apparently, it might be soon.
Yeah, well, that's better news than Nikola Pekovic being back at some point this season.
No, he will play.
I'm going to bring that joke up all year. all right, so looking ahead to Friday for our DraftKings picks. I still don't know, sorry again, if we're doing a Razzball-only contest, but if not, we'll do another one of those big $2 contests to hop in, like we talked about at the beginning of the show. Slim and I both made the money last time, so hopefully you'll play with us and you'll make the money as well. It's a pretty full slate. I think this looks like almost all but one or two teams are playing on Friday. Any DraftKings ideas coming off the top of your head? I know we don't have budgets. It's a little tough, but...
Yeah, I mean, it'd be interesting to see what MKG's number is at.
Yeah, he might be really, really cheap.
Yeah, that's an interesting one. Those Spurs against the Lakers. There's going to be some unknown player doing good there. Good luck picking who, though.
I think if...
Matt Bonner.
Hey, Matt Bonner's looking like a really good $0 buy in REL.
Oh, yeah.
Put up another 10 points yesterday. I mean, he's not going to do anything full scale, but whatever.
He just barely makes that top, what, 300?
Yeah, yeah. If Joakim Noah's out again, he was out yesterday, and Taj Gibson plays. He had 6 blocks yesterday. He might be a good one against Portland. See that going
on? You got New Jersey going against Philly. You always got to look at that matchup.
You mean Brooklyn going against Philly.
Did I say?
You said New Jersey. It's not. It's not. I completely tongue-in-cheek.
I was thinking football with the Jets and the Giants. My bad.
Yes. But, yeah, that's a good one.
For New York, right?
I think Plumlee is a good one. We talked about him earlier. Going against Philly.
And what's his name? Good old Covington. He's been a little hit or miss, but that could be a big one for him.
Yep. I mean,
who's going to cover him? Allen Anderson and...
Allen Anderson.
That one's got some potential.
Yeah, maybe Brandon Davies plays against his old team. Gets a little bit of time.
Okay. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah. Not as much as a DraftKings pick, but as someone that might actually guard Covington. So random question here. Why has no one questioned that the Toronto Raptor is dribbling a basketball? How the hell is a Raptor going to dribble a basketball? It's like the claws are going to pop it and... Makes no sense.
With proper manicure, I imagine it's okay.
Yeah, that's true. You could file them down a good bit. I don't know. I just feel like they're real, slashy, too. I feel like they'd be, a real bad dribbler. A little flaily.
You think it'd be better than some of these other mascots?
I don't know. I just
Hornet would do well with a ball in his hand?
Well, the Hornet, it's kind of holding on to it for dear life. It's not doing anything finesse wise with the ball. It's just kind of holding on, you know.
Yep.
Even the Falcon of the Hawk, I guess it would be, since that is their logo. It's got its talons gripped in it. I'm only looking at Friday's games, but no other logo is so ridiculous that a Raptor is dribbling a basketball.
No, I agree.
Sorry.
Not arguing with that.
I just wanted to take that completely off of the rails. All right, so ending the show today, we are going out to the movies. Coming out this week, Exodus Gods and Kings, which I think should be called Exodus CGI and Green Screen.
Well, yeah, I mean, they had that other Bible movie, and I'm pretty sure it's about as far away from the Bible as you get.
Yeah, I mean, apparently the Bible means CGI and money.
And giant creatures made out of stone or something. Noah was weird.
I never saw Noah yet, so.
I didn't give anything away.
Spoiler alert, it's in the Bible.
I might have to go out and see these movies after what the Swedish government did.
What did the Swedish government do? I don't even know this.
Oh, they're cracking down.
What'd they do?
They're shutting down torrent sites.
Oh. Look at the Swedes. The progressive Swedes making people leave their houses.
Yeah, well, we'll see how that goes.
Was Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, was that Swedish?
Yes, it was.
And she's a big hacker. She should be fighting them off with that.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I don't know anything about the culture.
Yeah, I don't really either. Top 5, get a 90% rating so far. That's the Chris Rock movie. I might see that at some point. Chris Rock's pretty funny.
Yeah, and I've seen the commercials for it, and I have absolutely no idea what it's about.
Yep, me either. Something called Inherent Vice? This looks stupid. I don't know. So, that's what's coming out this week. Number one in your box office, yet again, The Hunger Games Mockingjay Part 2, The Revenge of the Return of, Volume 2, whatever. What have you watched yourself this past week?
seen some good documentaries. There was one called, what was it? It was an area of St. Louis, North St. Louis.
Let's hope it's not Ferguson.
Should have wrote this down first, huh?
I don't know. I don't remember what I've watched either, so.
No, I've got a couple good ones I'm waiting on. I think I might be watching Gone Girl later on today.
Oh, that's a good one. I'm
looking forward to that.
I wanted to watch that really bad. One of the I don't know if I brought this up before. One of the officers in it is Jim Gilpin, which is my dad's name.
I hear you remember you saying that.
Yeah, that is, so that's kind of funny. Let's see. What have I watched? I watched the Netflix stand-up comedy Bill Burr. It was really funny. His new one. If anyone's into the stand-up stuff, I'm trying to think if I've even watched a single movie.
Oh, that documentary. It's called Spanish Lake.
Spanish Lake.
Yeah. I don't want to give away what it's about, but it's really good.
I'm guessing it's about something to do with a lake.
It's about a area that's getting told what to do by other governments. Well, not governments, but other municipalities.
Fracking. Is it about fracking?
No.
Oh, okay. That's my best.
No, this is something that happened many years ago.
Oh, this is
like the results of it.
I did rewatch No Country for Old Men. I know that's way back in the day, but
it's a classic.
I don't know why that, like, what made me want to go back and watch that, but that's the one movie I watched recently again, and that movie is effing great.
So. Yeah. What's his name? Oh, there you go. Javier Bardem.
Yeah, he's awesome in it. I mean, the whole thing, and what's great about that movie is, I thought back on it, seeing it a second time, I'm pretty sure there's no music the entire movie.
Wow. I mean, I remember walking away from that movie being very impressed.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure, they made all that intensity and thrillerness, which I think is a word, without any score. I was pretty impressed by that. Maybe I'm misremembering that there was some light music at some
you
point.
You just saw it, huh?
I don't know. It was the end of the week. A couple people have bought me some Crown and Cokes this week. This season. I obliged and had a Crown and Coke evening. So it was quite enjoyable. Any other big news coming out? I know we like to check in with any last second news while we record.
Yeah, usually it's about seeing if anybody's in or out, but with such a small schedule, there's probably not much going on.
Not going to know much there.
Nope. They're just saying the Cavs aren't worried about LeBron, but okay. Oh, what about Melo? We didn't even cover that.
Oh, yeah, you're right. He had to sit out yesterday with a knee. As I was saying before, he's getting beat up and the Knicks are awful. Oh, the Knicks record is 420, so I thought that was fun. But... If Melo is still getting beat up and the Knicks are, not even at 20 wins by fantasy playoffs time, they might just sit him.
Yeah. They have no reason to play him.
Yeah, so.
I mean, I don't know how all their draft stuff is works. You never know about that.
Mm-hmm.
They might need to finish a certain place that we don't know about.
Yeah, so.
And those draft trades, conditional for like the next 8 years. It's so hard to follow those things.
Yeah. Well, it's definitely a rebuilding team, hopefully rebuilding around Melo. So that's where we're going to end the show today. Thanks again to our Fantasy Sports Network listeners. Thanks again for Steve Alexander hopping on the show. And have a good weekend, man. We'll catch you next week.
All right. Talk to you later.